So the sermon title for this Sunday is First We Listen, Then What? And I was thinking about this and comes from, first of all, from our Old Testament lesson. We have the delightful and weird story of Moses and the burning bush. And Moses is tending sheep because he's run away from Egypt where he killed some people. So he took off. And while he's tending his father's sheep, he sees this bush that's on fire, but isn't burned up. And obviously, this catches his attention. And then God says to him, Moses, Moses. And I've always thought, well, why did he say Moses twice? And I'm guessing because the first time Moses didn't hear it. Because if a burning bush talks to me and I hear Barry, I'm going to think I heard something else. So, you know, he gets his attention. Just take off your shoes. This is holy ground. There's something special going on here. And goes through this lengthy call to Moses, who brings up some objections, which are not ridiculous. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at most of the Bible stuff from the end. Like, we know how it ends. And so we think, Moses, what's your problem? You're going to take the people out. It's going to be fine. Well, Moses didn't know that. He's talking to a burning bush, first of all. So he may be thinking he's having a heat-induced hallucination to begin with. Of course he's going to have questions, and the questions he has are perfectly reasonable, which is why God answers them and just says, this is what you're going to tell them. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us. The sentence, I am who I am, is not terribly helpful in some ways as a label, but it gets the essence of God and God's eternality, among other things. And so Moses eventually says, okay, there, he has other issues along the way as he struggles with this whole process. We think that because Moses was raised in a royal house to the daughter of the Pharaoh, off the top of my head, I don't know how many daughters the Pharaoh had, but I'm guessing a lot. They tended to have a lot of children. I don't think Moses was sort of like, Prince William. I think Moses was more like somebody who, if they look very carefully in their DNA thing, they can get their way back to Richard III and then work their way down to the Queen. So yes, of course, they're royalty. It's one of those sorts of things. He doesn't feel that he has anything to say. But he goes anyway because he's been called. And he listens and then does, which is what most of us do. But first we listen, then what? Well, and as I was thinking about this, and I was talking about it with Clayton on the way here and that kind of thing, is that we look at the story of Moses and we think, wouldn't that be great if we had that kind of a call? Wouldn't that just solve everything? Well, it didn't solve much for Moses. I mean, he continued to have difficulties, he continued to complain, and all sorts of things, and he had encountered God in an astonishing, miraculous way. I mean, if you set fire to a shrub, the shrub burns. I mean, that's just simple physics or whatever covers burning. You'd think that would be enough to carry him through, and we think it would be, but it wasn't. And it's not because Moses was especially bad, because he wasn't. It wasn't because Moses was especially anything other than especially human, because that's what humans do. We forget things. When things get hard, we look for excuses why we shouldn't have to do them or whatever else. And we think that, yeah, if only we could have had a call like that, what would we have done? Well, last week was a bad week in lots of ways. For those of you who are of a particular stripe, we lost Tim Curry, which was very sad, but far more important to the world in general, Dolly Parton. Now, I don't know Dolly Parton's story a lot. I know more of it than most because my stepmom and my dad were at Dolly World. My Norma loves Dolly Parton. Who doesn't? Well, Bill Maher apparently doesn't, but he doesn't love anybody, even himself. So we lost Dolly Parton. And I think, did Dolly Parton ever have a burning bush experience? I don't know. I certainly never heard of it. She's never spoken of it to my knowledge. of this extraordinary meeting with God, who said, "You, Dolly, are going to do extraordinary things." But she did. I saw a very interesting reel. That's what they call those little videos on Instagram, if you're not on Instagram. And if you're not on Instagram, good for you. You'll probably live longer and be happier the whole time. It's not as bad as X, but it does have its moments. But I saw one, and it began with, Dolly Parton chose not to become a billionaire. I hadn't thought of it that way. But Dolly Parton made enough money as one of the most successful songwriters ever. Like, she wrote songs for dozens and dozens of people that had number one hits and won Oscars and things for them. Like, she was an extraordinary songwriter and then an extraordinary performer on her own. And through that and through other things, I mean, she had reached the point where she could have just let her money make money and just become a billionaire, and just like lots of other billionaires have, by doing nothing. Instead, she gave away more than 300 million books to children. You signed up for her program, you got a new book every month until you finished school. And I saw a man there talking about his child and going through the books that he had read with his child. This one's his favorite. Every month. Because Dolly Parton said it's important that people know how to read. It's important that they love reading, because with reading opens a bunch of doors. Illiteracy closes almost all of them. And people who love to read tend to be a little bit broader in their perspective. They tend to be exposed to more things, because books take us places we could never get to, because some of them are in the past and some of them are in the future. And some of them are just too far away. I don't think God ever showed up in Dolly Parton's backyard, in a bush, or for that matter, in her house or anywhere, and said, "Dolly, I want you to give people books." No. I don't know what the precipitating factor was in Dolly's relationship with God, because she had one, empowered by Jesus, with the Holy Spirit in filling her in the ways that the Holy Spirit does. But whatever that was, it doesn't seem like it was terribly dramatic. And for most of us, it's not very dramatic. For many people I've talked to, they can't remember a time when they didn't have that relationship with God. Baptized into the church or not, doesn't matter. They were raised in a family that saw importance in church and scripture and in listening to what they're taught about the things in scripture, and so they just don't remember a time when they didn't believe those things. There wasn't anything dramatic. And sometimes they feel bad about that. A friend of mine once used to joke that when he became a Christian at 3, he left behind his life of sin. Which apparently he actually said in a testimony meeting when he was about 10, which I think is absolutely funny. Pastors' kids will do all sorts of things. But Dolly didn't have this massive thing. And yet, what has she accomplished? More than most. And she's done it from a deep understanding that human beings matter because they are. Not because of what they've done for her or for anyone else, but just because they are. When you look at the things that people have been saying about her in the last week or so, I mean, Bill Maher is allegedly a comedian, so of course he's going to say something ridiculous. And it wasn't even that bad. But there was one who said that, yeah, Dolly was okay, but, you know, she came out in support of, you know, LGBTQ. T+2S people, so of course she couldn't really be a Christian. And I just thought, okay, that's a thing to say right after somebody's dead. It's wrong, it's hurtful, and it's stupid. But actors are not known for their ability to, we'll just leave this particular person nameless. But that's the only thing that I've heard anybody say it hasn't been uniformly positive. People have talked about how she reached out and she helped people along, how she gave money. She's given away millions of dollars in scholarships. Millions and millions of dollars in scholarships. When she could have just, you know, spent it on herself. She could have, you know, made sure that she could have moved Dollywood to a right-to-work state so she could pay her employees a dollar an hour. She could have done a lot of things that billionaires and very rich people do, and she did none of them. And I don't think it was because, just because she was a woman, although women billionaires do tend to be less obnoxious than men, but that's not too hard when it comes to the billionaire class. No, I think it came from a deep understanding that people matter, and because of Romans 12. First we listen, and then what? Well, we listen. If we're Moses, we listen to a burning bush. If we're grown up in the church, we listen to Sunday school teachers. We listen to our parents. We listen to friends of our parents, because often we don't listen to our parents. We listen to youth leaders, and we listen to each other. We listen to ourselves. We read the Bible. We listen to the Holy Spirit above all. And then we do the things that Paul talks about in Romans 12. Paul is sometimes looked at as someone who's forever preaching about sort of heavy, unpleasant things and shaking his fist at women or whatever. You know, people look at pick out this one verse here and one verse there. Overall, I mean, everything Paul is writing is about Christ in empire. And if you read it from that perspective, which I've just started doing, everything changes. Because everything Paul's writing about is in the context of empire that's trying to subvert Christianity, which eventually it does in 313 with Constantine, and we've never really recovered. But in Romans 12, first he talks about spiritual gifts and things, which we talked about last week, which is a useful part of it as well. But then he says, you know, these are the things that we should be doing. Sincerely loving, clinging to what's good, being devoted to each other, honoring others above yourselves. Don't lack zeal, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people, practice hospitality. So that's everybody. And I look at these things, and this week we have the opportunity to reflect on someone who lived this out in a very public way in the form of Dolly Parton. And if we have to make sure we don't think that, oh, I guess we can't do that because we're not Dolly Parton. Well, no, we're not. The world I don't think the world would have known what to do with two Dolly Partons at the same time. And as with everything in God's economy, one is usually enough. Because Dolly had an immense reach, but she was never able to connect deeply with my children. She never met them, but I did. I was there from when they were born, and I've been there ever since. I've been trying to model these things. I've been trying to do these things, and not because every morning I wake up and I read Romans and I go, oh, right, remember. I have to be sincere in love. No, it's because when I listened, I did. Because listening in this case doesn't just mean hearing words like a tape recorder does or a parrot does that, you know, that can be played back if need be. Listening means hearing and bringing things into who we are. And Moses didn't need God to come in a burning bush every week or every month or even every year. Moses encountered God in astonishing ways more than most people. But not all the time. When Moses listened to God the first time, he was changed into the person that he was created to be, which was the deliverer of the nation of Israel. And when I first started listening to God, that's when I began to be transformed into the person who, to the astonishment of many, went to Bible college and then seminary. And then turned down opportunities in places that might have paid me more, but would have been of less value. And probably would have crushed my soul when I think of them, so I'm glad I did. But That's what happened. That's the what. We listen to God, and the listening changes us. And as we continue to listen, it continues to change us as we become ever more that person we were created to be, to make the difference that only we can make. Only Moses delivered the nation of Israel. Could God have chosen someone else? Of course. But God didn't. Moses was the one. Could God have chosen a different partner for Hadley than me? Of course. Could we never have met? Of course. All of these things, none of them matter, because we are where we are now, and we are the people we are now, and we are doing what we were created to do when we listen and then do. We listen through sermons. We listen, well, at least sometimes we listen to sermons. Even now, after hearing hundreds of really good sermons over the years, when I hear the word sermon, I still think of being about 14. Yeah, like the worst age possible for a male human. Being 14 and just sitting there listening to, what is he now? Yeah. But through sermons, through Bible studies, through Bible study on our own, through prayer, through nature, through that inner nudging of the Holy Spirit that says, that person needs you to say hello today. That person needs you to smile at them. That person needs you to chat with them, because they have time behind the counter and they look like they could use somebody to ask them how they're doing. We have to listen first, and all of us have. I see evidence of listening in all of your lives. I see how you listen to each other, how you care for each other, and that springs from this listening. And so we don't need a burning bush, and we don't need to be Moses. We just need to listen. We have listened to that first call, whatever that was, whether it was dramatic or it was just atmospheric. And then we continue to listen. Because the more we listen, the more we know. And the more we know, the better we are. The more us we are. To me, there's almost nothing more satisfying than somebody saying, oh yeah, of course that's you. I ran across somebody I hadn't seen for a couple of years on Friday. I was getting out of my car and I heard this, Barry! Turned around and was tackled in an appropriate way. So hugged each other vigorously because we really like each other. Apologized for bleeding on her. I was working with trees, and so I got a couple of scratches along. Trees always win. All we can do is get revenge by cooking a hot dog over them. You know, trees always win. And as we were talking, she was going through some tough things, and she said, oh, I needed to talk to you because only you could say that, and I could only hear it from you. And I thought, what a gift to her and to me, that I've become the person that God wanted me to be, that could talk to someone who has been deeply hurt by a man and by other men at other times. And she said, you're the only man I'll listen to. And I thought, what a gift. And it came not because I set out to become a man who women coming out of difficult situations would listen to, but because I listened and God said, do this small thing and that small thing. And they were pretty much all small things that have culminated in where I am now. Happier than my younger self would have thought possible. More useful to other people than I ever would have imagined. Because I listened. I never even asked what now or then what to stick with the sermon title. I never even thought to. It's just as well. Because I see it in retrospect. And I think that's where we see the growth. Sometimes we see it, like sometimes we experience growth and we know we're growing in one way or another. But it's when I look back that I see the growth. And I'm so glad I listened. I'm glad I didn't have to have God yell at me twice. but all of us have listened. And we are doing what's in Romans 12. And the message, if we have one coming from this, is to continue being who you are. Because who you are is exactly who you should be right now. And you will continue to become more and more yourself in the ways that please you, God, and everyone else. Because when we are most ourselves is when we are most useful, most pleasant to be around, when we're at our best. So we've listened, we've done, and we may not have led anybody out of captivity, but that's okay. We've done what God has asked us to do, and we're going to do it for the rest of today, and we'll do it tomorrow. Probably won't be perfect at it, but we'll be doing what we've been called to do because we've listened to the God who said our name. And then we changed. Amen.